Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the upcoming Pakistani elections. Pakistan goes to the polls next Wednesday to choose its next government following a prolonged corruption scandal and amidst a new wave of terrorist destabilization, with this election being perhaps the most pivotal in the country's history given the stakes involved. Former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif was ruled ineligible for his post after a Supreme Court decision last summer, and his recent conviction on corruption charges saw him arrested when he returned home from abroad last week. While many in the country celebrated this as a sign that Pakistan was finally bringing corrupt politicians to justice, the supporters of Nawaz's Pakistan Muslim League decried it as a witch hunt that they allege was hatched by the military in order to tilt the odds in former cricketer Imran Khan's favor. The leader of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, which translates to the Pakistan Movement for Justice and popularly known by its abbreviation as the PTI, is just as famous for the development that he helped bring to the Afghan bordering province of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa as part of its coalition government as he is for his sports exploits, and his relentless anti-corruption campaign has earned him millions of supporters all throughout the country. The Pakistan People's Party is also competing in the election by fielding Bilawal Bhutto Zardawi, the young scion of his famous mother, Benazir, while Nawaz's party has nominated his brother, Shehbaz, the chief minister of the most populous province of Punjab. Each party brings their own vision for Pakistan's future development to the race, which makes this a truly unique election. Next week's vote will be taking place amidst very challenging domestic and international circumstances. A suicide bombing targeted a campaign rally in Balochistan over the weekend and killed 149 people, a troubling sign that terrorism is still creeping into the country from neighboring Afghanistan. On top of that, Pakistan's relations with its former American ally have been profoundly damaged over the past year and a half since Trump entered into office, which will be yet another serious issue that the country's next prime minister will have to deal with. No less important is the population explosion in the country and the pressure that this is placing on its already strained water resources, which altogether puts Pakistan at an historic crossroads ahead of the upcoming vote. So folks, I gotta say, the upcoming elections in Pakistan are definitely very important for the reasons I explained, but as always, this is Trendstorm. We're gonna tell you a little bit more about the importance of the topics we discuss. So the first guest in this segment is Ms. Sabina Siddiqui. She's a foreign affairs journalist focusing on the Belt and Road Initiative, CPEC, and South Asia, and who also works as an op-ed writer at china.org.cn, South China Morning Post, and Asia Times.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Sabina, everyone's talking about the influence that former Prime Minister Nawaz's arrest might have on the polls, but what effect do you think that the shadow of terrorism and recently fraught relations with the U.S. will have on which party people decide to vote for?
The recent terrorist attacks are very alarming, and they have happened just before the elections. I think it was an attempt to sabotage the elections by hindering political campaigns and making the candidates a bit fearful. Two ethnic leaders were targeted in the provinces bordering Afghanistan by Daesh. The people are quite worried about this new development, and I think the trend should be to vote for moderate liberal parties which do not support any far-right extremist elements. In the same way, only a moderate government will be able to balance relations with the U.S. as well as our other friends to fight terrorism, because the extremist parties are the main root of the problem.
Okay, so Sabine, if I understand it correctly, if we look at the three main parties that are running in the elections, the PML represents the political establishment, the PPP evokes a lot of political nostalgia, and the PTI are the political outsiders. So which of these three do you think is best suited for meeting the challenges that you just described, as well as presiding over Pakistan's future management of the game-changing CPEC megaproject?
Where the CPEC is concerned, I feel there should be some degree of continuity for this mega project and the implementation of the various projects going on right now. should be done by the same people in a way. And members from the previous team should be consulted, no matter which party wins. The China-Pakistan Economic Corridor is a project between both the governments, not political parties. And it will continue in the same way Pakistan carried on its nuclear program in the past, notwithstanding the changing of several governments during the decades.
Okay, I see. So this sounds like it's going to be a continuity of policy, regardless of who comes in. So can you maybe tell me us more about some of the other policies that you expect to continue, irrespective of whoever wins? I mean, you mentioned the nuclear program, of course. Obviously, there's CPEC, which you just touched upon. So are there any other issues that you expect won't change and will just continue into the future?
Our foreign policy, it is a priority for Pakistan to continue to balance its foreign relations with its friends and strategic allies. The world is getting to be very multipolar in nature these days. And I would say the age of power blocks is over in this geo-economic century. So most of all, regional unity is very important for countering terrorism. It is something which is increasing and we all need to counter it together. As for on the domestic front, I would say water conservation has become a topmost priority for Pakistan right now. And the building of both small and large dams has to be undertaken on a war footing. Our economic problems are really, drawing us down these days, and they are going to persist. And the new government will have to go to the IMF, most probably, as soon as it takes charge. And I think these are the main issues which will be occupying them in the coming weeks.
Okay, Sabina, well, we still have a couple minutes left, so the last thing I want to ask you about is if you can just comment on the historic significance of these elections, because as we've discussed, there are some pressing international and domestic challenges that are facing the country, but at the same time, there are three very robust political parties that are competing to win the vote. So what do you make out of the historical significance of the upcoming election?
It is good that democracy is continuing and it is evolving in a way. Our electorate is not that mature, and it is an evolutionary process. And democracy has continued for the past decade uninterrupted, you could say, and it's a good development. But there's a lot of friction underneath going on. As a neutral observer, I feel that the PTI is now being seen as a party with backing of some kind from some quarters in the establishment, I could say, while the PMLN has fallen out of favor due to all the various issues it was responsible for, like the Dawn leaks and the fact that its leaders got named in the Panama Papers. Well, they are arrested and in jail right now, and this factor could bring in a sympathy vote. There are very unpredictable elections ahead, and the PPP has a very young and promising leader in Bilawal, but he needs more time. He's not mature enough to be a prime minister, in my opinion. But he's surely going to be a member of parliament, and he will be able to make a positive contribution, and we will see what lies ahead. But I would predict a hung parliament, and the majority of our electorate is in the rural areas, and they have mostly no access to social media. So their voting pattern is very different from that of our voters in the urban areas. So what really matters is who had stronger links with the rural areas in the Punjab, which is our biggest province and has like 60% of the votes. So it's a very exciting time ahead, I would say.
Sabina, this was an all-encompassing review of the upcoming elections and what to expect from this historic vote. So thanks again for coming on to Trendstorm. Now we're going to hear what Mr. Waqas Mahmood Dogar has to say. He's a Pakistani political commentator who writes for The Nation newspaper.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Waqas, how do you expect the electorate to react to former Prime Minister Nawaz's arrest? And do you think that it'll help his party more? Or Imran's?
The ex-Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, the leader of Pakistan Muslim League, Nawaz section, is a three times elected Prime Minister of Pakistan. His younger brother, the president of the party now, Shabazz Sharif, has served in the capacity of Chief Minister of Punjab, which is also the largest province of Pakistan, which means that the party has its vote bank and can certainly stage a comeback if it still manages to retain Punjab in general elections 2018. Nawaz Sharif came to politics through the help of military security outlet, but after his first term as the Prime Minister, he fell out of favor with the security establishment. So Pakistan has long been plagued with a militaristic status quo, which leads to a de facto rule of unelected officials. The result of such misadventures has been that Pakistan has been stuck in a vicious circle. The PMLN has delivered on its promise to performance. So there's no more power shortage or electricity problem, and the scourge of terrorism has faded. However, as these main issues have been addressed, other pressing emergencies are being considered as priorities, for example, water, health and education, infrastructure, investment. So the rise of Imran Khan in 2013 was through a wave of PTI, the Pakistan Tehreek e Insaf, which led to formation of its government in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province in general election 2013. However, despite that PTI has made ground in terms of voter base, the main reason behind the unpredictability is that there are people amongst masses who think that Imran Khan should be given a chance as a third force in politics. But the dynamics prove that Khyber Pakhtunkhwa has never elected the same party twice. So Pakistan needs a statesman who can make sacrifices to the people who vote for them. At this point in time, no other elected or unelected official is being held accountable, except Nawaz Sharif, who despite propaganda has returned to Pakistan to face jail, even though no corruption has been proved in Evan Field's case, according to court judgment. Hence, as the term is used, bloody civilian, Nawaz Sharif will be able to emerge as majority party as he gained sympathy among swing voters, who believe that it is a legacy of All India Muslim League, which has been reborn. So whether PMLN forms majority coalition government would be decided on 25th July, PMLN and PPP can emerge as natural allies in case of coalition government.
Okay, well, can you tell us a little bit more about the main points of Nawaz's party and Imran's, and why there's such a fierce competition between these two organizations and their leaders, even personally?
First of all, the masses want the economic situation to improve. A People's Party deals with this true idea of economic justice as a peripheral point around the main point of concept of freedom, because People's Party is a leftist party is known for its constitutionalism. The other strong point is that it has a good team for economy and finance. There were three main challenges when PMLN came to power in 2013. And since then, only the third problem, that is economy, remains, but still there has been a lot of improvement as Pakistan was on brink of bankruptcy during general elections 2013. The Pakistan of 2018 is different from what it was in 2018-2013. PTI, however, is trying to fill its shoes to a point of accountability and has termed the arrest of Nawaz at its game and considered to its own credit, oblivious of the fact that the general population believes that across accountability is a farce, since only those who are being apprehended and admonished who are opposing the security establishment, while others are forgiven no matter what the crime. This is because people keep electing to power the same parties since no elected PM has ever completed term. Nawaz raised the slogan of respect my vote, which called response from voters. This ensures political will means continuity and consistency. PTI's slogan, Naya Pakistan, Do Nahi Ek Pakistan, means that all people should have access to same facilities, be it education, health, transport, etc. The fact that the PTI's chosen electables who are also termed as winning candidates are those people who have changed party loyalties around order of establishment. Imran Khan wants to become the prime minister, but seems weak at the moment. However, dynamics speak a different language. People's Party brought devolution and PMLN improved economy, but will PTI promise to bring accountability, especially when it's being supported by the majority of status quo? So whoever backs Punjab wins the elections, but the mood of Punjab is to support civil supremacy.
Okay, Waqas, well, all told then, what does all of this say about the state of Pakistani democracy today and the historical crossroads that the country is at? And lastly, how optimistic are you that things will change for the better?
The roots of democracy have certain strengths and the future seems promising, since for the first time in 7 decades, Pakistan has completed a decade of civilian rule. That is, 2 consecutive terms of democratically elected parties have completed their terms, the People's Party and the Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz. So both parties have considerable experience to handle the matters of government. This is evident in their endeavor to adopt a futuristic approach for purpose of good governance. The emergence of PTI has a third political party has raised new questions regarding the institutional factor of de jure and de facto rule. Overall, democratic credentials serve as a game changer since it has helped create confidence, even it has improved stature and as well as it has strengthened the civil society. So at this point in time, these elections will determine whether Pakistan people want change through a system of elections or will only selection take place through interference. So Pakistan's problem is political, not technocratic, which requires a multidimensional holistic approach towards internal and external dimensions of political sphere.
Well, guys, this was a delightful discussion that dove into the details about the upcoming election and has succeeded in informing our audience about the importance of next Wednesday's vote. Alright folks, if we think back on what both Sabana and Waka shared with us today, we can come to the conclusion that this upcoming vote is indeed historic. And while there is some intrigue surrounding it, that's natural. That's natural for any democracy in any country. And at the end of the day, I mean, Pakistan has been practicing democracy for over 10 years, as our guest emphasized, and is still categorized as an emerging democracy. That being said, precisely for that reason, everybody should be watching these polls because they are very important in determining the course of the country's future. Though, as Sabana noted, the country will probably continue many policies regardless of who enters into office, but we should celebrate this exercise of democracy in South Asia. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.